If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. Take it out. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Back on the scene. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 738. This is your host, Danny, and joining me this week, co-host of the show, we have Paris in the house. What's up, Paris?
Hey, good morning. How's everyone doing?
Oh, man, what's up with you, man? How's everything?
Oh, it was great. I took my family yesterday, and we went to go see the Harlem Globetrotters. I've never done that before. I've never been to a Harlem Globetrotter, so it was pretty cool. It was a lot of fun. It's definitely centered around the kids to get the kids involved. You know, it's obviously it's all stage with the generals and everything, but it's a show. It's entertainment. It was very funny. And I just love how, like I said, they interact with the kids. They get the kids on the court with them. And, you know, they're all laughing and they hang around afterwards and they all do autographs with the kids. And they take photos and all that. It's a great family experience to take your kids to. You don't even have to like basketball. It's not even about basketball. It's just about the experience of going to the Harlem Globetrotters. So a lot of fun with that. Highly suggested.
All right, guys. So in 7 days, we're going to make history because, you know, of course, GTR is turning 13 years old. And also we're planning to premiere our documentary, Gamertag Radio, a podcast story on Twitch. But a couple of days ago, I got an email from Twitch that they're also going to be featuring our documentary on the front page during the world premiere. So I'm very, very hype about that because nobody has ever done this before. This is the first time that Twitch is going to feature a documentary about podcasting on the front page. So if you're listening to this, please make sure to go to our Twitch channel on that day at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, and watch it live with us. Because even I know there's a couple of people that have probably seen it already. I send it to, you know, a couple of friends, you know, from the industry, family, you know, and so on. But I really want us to make history, man. You know, and just you know, we're thinking outside of the box and we're trying to do new things, man. So I think this is something powerful, something really cool, and a big opportunity for not only for me but also for the whole crew, man. For the whole Gamertag Radio, you know, and this is something very, very special to me, man. So if you can, make sure to watch it next week, Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, man. Paris, your thoughts about that, man?
Hey, it's an amazing thing that's going to happen on next Sunday in 7 days. The fact that podcast is going to be on the front page is just going to expose the documentary, it's just going to expose it. Mm-hmm. To people that have no idea what Gamertag Radio is, or maybe even what a podcast is. And I think this documentary is going to be a great introduction for people to not only know our story, but to understand what the journey can be to be a content creator. You know, everyone starts from nowhere. You got to start from nowhere. And just the years of hard work that have gone into Gamertag Radio to get us to where we are today. It's fantastic. Again, seeing that documentary, I probably watched it a dozen times at this point. I think everyone that gets a chance to see is really going to enjoy it.
Yeah, I had a conversation with someone that is part of the gaming industry. He used to work for a gaming site back in the days and stuff. And, you know, we haven't spoken in a long time. So, you know, I sent them a copy and stuff. Like, hey, let me know what you think here, whatever. And, you know, see what happens. So he hit me up like maybe almost like a week later. He hits me up. He's like, wow, dude, this documentary is powerful, man. And he also mentioned that it will be cool other sites for other sites to do that too, because there's a lot of history with, like, let's say IGN. He mentioned IGN. He mentioned, I think, Destructoid, GameStop. He mentioned like a lot of, he mentioned indies and mainstream sites that nobody's ever done this in the gaming industry, man. No one. And we're like the first one. So I was like, oh, man, thanks. I wasn't even thinking about it when I made it. So when he mentioned that, I was like, man, that's true, man. Because it's easy to forget, man, the stuff that not only us, but other people had done in the past, man, that helped, I think, the gaming industry. You know what I'm saying? So it's good that we're releasing this, even if someone just started getting into games and they want to learn more about the history on, you know, stuff that's been going on in the gaming industry. This is like a perfect way to start, man. Watch this and do some research on others, about other sites and stuff, you know? So this is why, to me, I think it's super important, man. Super, super important. Instead of just concentrating so much on what's going on now, learn the history and learn from us the stuff that we've done in the past, and you guys make it better for the next generation that's coming, you know? So, but we're going to talk more about what's going to happen in the future with GTR and everything, man. So I'm excited, man. Very excited. So cool. Anything else, Paris, or you're good?
No, I'm good. Let's continue with the show.
All right, so let's do this. Head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Make sure to listen and share with your friends. You also can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. If you can, if you listen to us through Apple Podcasts, make sure to post a review. That will help us out big time, all right?
Send us your feedback or questions. Yep. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, Paris, so let's talk about this, man, because this is a rumor, but it seems like it might happen, but I want to get your opinion about this. This is a rumor that Disney is looking to get new developers for Star Wars games and leave EA with that deal that they made a couple years ago. Your thoughts about that? And if that happens, which company you think they should work with to start making games?
Okay. Star Wars games. So I'm going to rewind this. I actually wish Pete was here for this because, see, Danny, this is what I was trying to tell you a few episodes ago when we were doing our, what did you call it? What if?
What if? What if? What if?
What if Microsoft bought EA? This is the point I'm trying to make. Disney is not going to mess around with the Star Wars license. So again, if it went to a Microsoft, they're going to pull it and take it to some other developer. And just like we're seeing with these, I'm doing air quotes, rumors, the fact that EA is struggling with the IP right now because they kind of botched it with Battlefront 2, and we just simply don't know what's in the immediate future for Star Wars under EA. I mean, we know long term they're going to have that Respawn game and stuff like that. But if Disney is potentially reevaluating this, yeah, when the contract's up, I could easily see them pulling this and taking it to another developer because they're about making money. Think about it. Star Wars IP, they want it to appeal to everyone. They don't want anything negative surrounding their IP. So if Disney is starting to feel that their IP is getting a negative connotation, they're going to be like, you know what? Is this the right publisher for us? Is this the right company to represent us on the video game landscape for Star Wars? Maybe they're starting to rethink that. Maybe they're looking at their contract. Maybe even with the current contract, maybe there's an out clause. Like maybe EA has to hit a certain number. And if they don't hit that certain number, or Disney has the right to reevaluate it, pull it, and send it to someone else. This, again, this is all, as Danny was saying, this is all what if, right? I'm not saying this, what if? Not saying this is happening. But let's just pretend that it is. Let's just pretend that Disney is looking to pull the IP away from EA and shop it somewhere else. Like I said a few weeks ago, in my opinion, the most logical one would be Ubisoft. I mean, you know, they obviously have the size and scope and the studios to be able to support something Star Wars related. They've, you know, it's rumored they're already working on an Avatar game, you know, as an example for when the next Avatar movie comes out. So they would be my first choice, would be just give them over to Ubisoft. Beyond them, God, I'm trying to think. See, I wouldn't say 2K. I wouldn't say 2K.
No.
I'm trying to think beyond Ubisoft. That would make the most
Activision.
Sense. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Isn't that what I think when I was joking around, isn't that what I originally said? I think I said that a few weeks ago, Activision. But yeah, Activision would be the next one, would be Activision. But yeah, my first choice would be Ubisoft and then probably Activision after that. All that said, though, I think this is all just rumor. I don't see the Star Wars license going anywhere. I think EA is going to put everything they can behind that IP to satisfy Disney to make sure that they keep it, because it's just such a huge moneymaker. You don't want to be the publisher that loses Star Wars, because that is not a good look.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason why I think this is going to happen, because dude, Paris, we heard this behind the scenes too. Like when Disney's working on in a movie and the director, they're having issues or something, they right away change the director and get somebody else, man. Disney's like that. But especially if it's giving the franchise a bad name, they're going to move on, man, and get somebody new.
Yeah.
So I know this is all rumors, but I see this happening, man. I can see this big time, because not only it's a business at the end of the day.
Yeah, it is.
Disney doesn't want the franchise, especially Star Wars, to go downhill. They want this franchise to grow and create a bigger buzz, because it's going to help them, you know, to get more money for the franchise. So yeah, dude, this was a failure compared to the first Battlefront game.
Yeah, it's crazy that we say it's a failure compared to the first one, but they still shipped 9 million, you know, so it's not a failure, but it's a failure by Star Wars standards, because that's how big that IP is, that, you know, it underperformed even shipping 9 million units, you know, in the last quarter. But I don't think it's going to happen, because I keep going back to Respawn. Supposedly that Respawn Star Wars game in its early conception looks so good that EA just said, hey, you know what, Amy Henning and Visceral, you guys are out, or Vicarious. Right? Is it Visceral? I always get too confused. Anyways,
okay.
You know what I'm talking about. They're out. They're gone. They shuttered that studio because that's just how good that IP looked. And I'm sure DICE is already well underway on Battlefront 3. So, like I said, I'm just curious what happens with Star Wars short term, because you would think they'd want a Star Wars game out this holiday as well. We just don't know. Because, I mean, the Respawn game is probably 2019 at the earliest, most likely 2020. And then I would expect Battlefront 3. It seems like they're doing that every 2 years. So Battlefront 3 is most likely 2019. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see. And then obviously BioWare is still doing the Knights of the Old Republic MMORPG. I mean, you don't hear a lot about it, but it still exists and people are still playing it. So EA still has Star Wars, you know, in the works. So I would find it hard to believe that Disney would pull the IP mid development cycle for this Respawn game, because even if they pulled it today, they're like, oh, you're out, and they gave it to someone else. At the earliest, we're looking at 2 years for a Star Wars game coming from another studio. And if it's going to be a quality Star Wars game, most likely 3 years, because remember when EA got the license initially, they rushed the first Battlefront just to get a Star Wars game out. And that would most likely be the same thing again. if they gave it to another studio or another publisher. So as a gamer, I don't want that. I want EA to keep it because they're already familiar with the IP. They already have things in work, you know, in the works to get games out, and they've already learned their lesson from rushing Star Wars, and they've learned their lesson again with loot boxes with Star Wars. So let EA keep it. Let EA do what they're going to do with Star Wars. I want the look, we know those guys at Respawn. We know they do amazing work. So I want that Respawn game. I want to see what it is because we know it's going to be a quality title. So please, I hope the rumor's not true. If anything, I hope it's a rumor that was potentially started by Disney just to light a fire under EA to make the best possible game that came. That's all I would
want. You know what? That's possible too. I can see that too.
Yeah.
I can see. But see, it's good that it's Respawn because I want a different developer to work on this game instead of just DICE. So it's good to change it up. It's good to change, and you never know. Maybe that will be the game that will blow up and create a bigger buzz for Star Wars.
Well, you know, I know this is a video game podcast, and what I'm about to say is blasphemous, but overall, I'm actually concerned about the Star Wars IP as a whole because, look, Episode 8, love it or hate it, controversial. They're obviously taking it in a different direction. Sorry, that Han Solo movie just looked to me, so I have no excitement for it. We know that there's, I almost wonder, are we getting too much Star Wars at this point? And again, I know this is about video games, so I won't go too much into it, but it seems like we're getting a little too much with that IP right now because the Game of Thrones guys got a trilogy. Rian Johnson got his own trilogy. We know Episode 9's coming. Are they going to do a Boba Fett movie, Obi-Wan movie? It's like, when does it, let's slow it down a little bit. Star Wars is special because when it comes around, it's an event. But if we got Star Wars movies and like 2-3 games every year, then it's just too much. It starts to be too much, in my opinion.
See, when the early days when Star Wars came out, we wanted the movie to come out every year, right? And now that we have it, now we're like kind of concerned. Like, I don't know. I think they should just slow down for a little bit.
I mean, we'll see.
I don't see
if it's all quality stuff. I mean, look at Marvel. And I was just doing the math in my head. By the time we get to Ant-Man, they've done like six movies in a year, in just a little over a year, that have come out from Marvel, crazy. Which is crazy. But you know what? Mm-hmm. They've all been good. So I'm not complaining about that. So it's almost a thing of, if you're churning out quality, compelling content, no one's going to complain. But if you start to put out average to lukewarm content, then people will be like, dude, come on, slow this down. Get it right. I'd rather have one movie every couple of years and it's amazing versus five movies every couple of years and they're all just so-so. And that's kind of what I'm saying. I know this is video game, so we get back to video.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But I mean, we're into the whole, you know, movies and stuff too. But before we go to the next topic, Paris, I think the thing that I've been hearing is that there's been issues with not only with the director, but also the actor that plays Han Solo. I heard he's kind of
bad. You ain't got to go with the hearing. Go watch the trailer. Tells you all you need to know. That dude can't act. That's the problem. That's why they brought Ron. That's why they fired the other two guys. And then they brought in Ron Howard, and he's basically completely reshot the movie. And again, rumor, they got that actor for Han Solo acting lessons because he can't act. That is not Han Solo. Look, I know we're going way off the deep end onto this, but that dude cannot act. I watched a trailer and I was like, yeesh. Ooh, I hope they focus on Chewie or something because that dude can't act. I don't know. They should have made a Lando movie with Donald Glover. Is what they should have did.
They should have, right?
Yeah.
They should have, man. Cool. All right, so we have a lot of fan mail questions. That's voicemails and emails. So let's go with fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right, Paris. We have emails, voicemails. Should we start with voicemail?
Yeah, and I will go ahead and play the first one right now.
Hello, this is Brad Davis, a.k.a. BGamer90, around many gaming parts on the internet. Just wanted to comment on a few things. First of all, 2017 was pretty hectic for me. Had a lot of toxic job situations involving HR, unfortunately, and it played a role in me switching day jobs pretty frequently. over the course of the year. And listening to your podcast during work made those situations easier to deal with and made the work day go by faster. So I definitely appreciate you guys making really good content for people with my interests and making us go through our days faster and then with more positivity. Anyway, I wanted to comment on two things. One is the success of the Nintendo Switch. On previous podcasts, you guys have made frequent mention of the Switch's success, and recent news has came out about the Nintendo Switch finally surpassing overall Wii U sales, even though the system isn't even 1 year old yet. So I wanted to ask each of you, what do you feel is more impressive or the bigger news? The fact that the Wii U sold really poorly, worse than the Dreamcast, or the fact that, again, the Nintendo Switch has outsold the Wii U within its first year? Because, I mean, on the surface, it sounds very, very impressive, but you have to remember how poorly the Wii U did. It was pretty much a flop. So I wanted to ask you guys that, and also I wanted to comment on what Tara said about next gen and 4K 60 frames per second. While that will be great, I personally think that we'll still see many 30 frames per second games in the future for the next gen console.
All right. So one thing, Brad, I actually talk to him on Twitter all the time. He's a good dude. And I think you just wanted to cry out for Logan's voicemail. I don't know if people on podcasts are here, but that was a long voicemail. So San Diego, you are off the hook. To answer this question, to start with the Switch thing first, I mean, it's all perception on how you want to look at it. I think taking the Wii U or the Dreamcast and all that out of the equation, just comparing it directly to even with the previous generation of consoles of like the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3 and all that. I mean, if you look at the Switch's sales numbers in its first year, it holds its own. You know, regardless of past Nintendo products, it holds its own in the history of all console sales, in my opinion. Now, the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, even more specifically, obviously it's sold at just absolute historic levels. And I don't think anyone's expecting the Switch to sell at PS4 levels. I don't know. That's just like, again, that's never been done before. But for Nintendo and what we expected, you know, coming in, to when the Switch came out, look, you remember me, I was like, man, I don't know about this thing. And then obviously I was wrong and it won me over. It's a fantastic piece of hardware. And I mean, it's selling fine and it's showing no signs of slowing down right now. As long as Nintendo can get more third-party buy-in, and obviously with them being the greatest developer in the world, continue to pump out hits from their own internal studios, the Switch is going to be fine. I mean, it's proven itself to be a hit. I mean, like I said, regardless of the Wii U or the Dreamcast or any of that stuff. So I don't know, Danny, you want to jump on that?
Yeah. And the most important thing, it doesn't matter if it's powerful or not. What matters is the games. Mm-hmm. And just a couple of days ago, Bayonetta 1 and 2 just got released. They're working on 3. Yo, I'm a huge fan of the game. And now I'm going to be playing this game on the go. On the go. I'm traveling, Bayonetta. I'm traveling, play Rocket League. I'm traveling, play Doom, Mario Odyssey, Mario Kart, Zelda. And there's going to be even more games coming out this year. That's fantastic. You can't do that with a PlayStation 4 and Xbox, you know?
Yeah. So speaking of that, again, the power of the Switch. So when I was flying back from Orlando, you know, when we did PodFest, I'm flying back home to San Diego. And I was in the exit row. I pulled down the tray in front of me, put the Switch on it. I went in my bag. I grabbed my controller and I just leaned back and I was sitting there playing Mario Odyssey. You should have seen these kids. They were peeping around the seats and looking. The stewardess is looking over like, what is he doing? I'm like, I'm playing Mario and none of you guys can stop me. This is great. Played it for like 2 hours straight on the plane. It was great. And that's what the Switch can do. And that was me doing the extreme version of it because I literally used the controller with it, but I didn't have to. I could have held it in my hand just with the Joy-Cons. You know what I mean? Or I could have took the Joy-Cons off and sat on there and did it that way. But it's the flexibility and the options that the Switch gives you. And it's like, let's be real. Mario Odyssey, again, one of the best games of 2017. This is a full AAA game. and I'm on the plane playing it. On plane. Uncompromised. Playing it just the same way I'd played it at my house if it was connected to a television. And that's what's great about the Switch, and that's why I love it.
Yeah, I think starting this year, and especially next year, if the sales continues like this, that's when you're going to see even bigger games that's been coming out almost every year for Xbox and PlayStation. That's when you're going to see developers, they're going to be working their butt off to release those games also on the Switch. So, and I mentioned this a couple of times now. Yo, I see Grand Theft Auto coming out, man, on the Switch. I'm telling you right now, they have a great relationship this time around with Take-Two and Rockstar. I see that game coming out on the Switch, man. And don't be surprised if they announce also Red Dead to be on the Switch in the future.
Yeah, no,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, none of that would surprise me because you have to think Grand Theft Auto 5 was on the 360, right? And basically the Switch is a 360. So tech-wise, hardware-wise, it should be able to do it. I don't think that would be a problem. I do think on the go, it will be a freaking battery hog. I think it will suck battery like no other just because of all the processing that it'll be doing with that open world. But another thing I want to bring up just as a FYI, because I talked about the Pro Controller and I know there's been questions about, is it worth the investment? Should I get it? Things like that. I say 1,000% if you play the Switch connected to your TV. It is one of the better controllers that you can get. I put it on par with it. It's not as good as the Xbox One controller, but I do think it's better than the DualShock, in my opinion. I like it that much. I think it's that comfortable. Great battery life. Obviously, it's wireless and all that. So, yeah, it's a great controller, and I think it's worth the investment for sure. I mean, unless you're just always playing your Switch on the go and you're just playing it in your hand, then you don't necessarily need it. But if you're ever connecting it to a TV or you ever want, like I was on the plane, the comfort of being able to just put it on the kickstand, sitting on the tray and be able to just lean back and play, then you can do that as well. So yeah, I think it's worth it. And obviously just search for deals. You don't necessarily have to pay full retail price. If you look, I didn't when I got it, I got it on Amazon about $10 less than full retail. So I just want to put that out there too. So his other part of his question I want to get into is he was talking about 4K and the 60 frames per second with the next consoles that are coming out. And I've said it before, and I 100% get what he's saying. Developers are going to have the choice to take more advantage of the full power of these new systems and maybe not necessarily do the frame rate with it and go with 4K. That's obviously a possibility, and that's obviously something that we'll probably see, in my opinion. But I said it before and I say it again. If we're going to truly take another leap with gaming beyond where we are today, we got to have 60 frames per second as a standard. I mean, the res 4K and 60 frames per second should be a standard going into the next generation. Now, if a developer chooses to not take advantage of that for cinematic purposes or because it's a huge open world game and they can just do more things on screen, I get it. Trust me, I get it. But when Phil Spencer and everyone is standing on stage announcing these next consoles, they need to be touting frame rate as the next leap for gaming. We got to get past 30 frames per second on the console. We got to start having 60 frames be the norm and not the exception on gaming. And that's what I want to see with the next console. So if we're not having that conversation, if we're simply just talking, yep, it's 4K HDR, 30 frames per second, but now we got 10 more enemies on screen. To me, that's not taking gaming to the next level. Like when we play Cyberpunk 2077 and all these great games, I want them on a console at 4K, 60 frames per second in an open world. When the next Grand Theft Auto, all these things come out, I want 60 frames to be the way that you play these games. You know, that's the kind of visual fidelity I want to see, because anyone that's played, I give you this example. Destiny 2. If you play Destiny 2 on the PS4 at 30 frames per second, it's 4K and it's HDR. I'm telling you right now, you play that same game on the PC at 4K HDR 60 frames per second, it's a different game. It's a different game just in the fidelity and the smoothness when you're playing it. And I want that across the board. You know, if I can choose frame rate, I'll always choose frame rate over resolution because it does make that big of a difference. But like you said, they're not going to go into that next console gen touting 1080p 60 because then people are going to look at that as a step backwards. They're going to go, well, why aren't we doing 4K? Xbox One X has already proven that they can do native 4K and with these games. It can't hit 60 frames per second. It's doing 30 frames per second. So if the next Xbox beyond the Xbox One X should be doing 60 frames per second, it just should. If it's not, why did we replace the Xbox One X? What's the point of it? That's what I'm saying. So, but I get his question, and I know you want to comment on to it, but I appreciate the question he had on it. I mean, it's a great topic, and this is all just speculation at this point. We don't know. We probably won't see these next consoles for another 2 to 3 years at this point anyway. So just good conversation.
No, keep on with the questions, man. I love answering questions from the listeners, man. So if you haven't had a chance to ask those questions, go for it. Send those questions, man, for GTR. All right, I'm going to go with this is an email. This is from Adrian. He said, hey, guys, question. Do Sony need to get the games they've shown at various events for over 2 years released? I know Sony have always shown games running that and wow the crowds, but then show them again and again, year after year, which I've been saying that many times in the past. So he wrote down a couple games here. And he says, Spider-Man, time's up. Days Gone, time's up. Detroit, time's up. Then late 2017, we were shown Death Stranding. There is no date for that. Dreams, which has been now, two or three years, something like that. Shenmue, he wrote already 15 years late. Your thoughts. Thanks, Adrian, for the email, man. Paris, what do you think about this, man?
I think Sean Latham at PlayStation Experience basically laid all this out already, that they're aware that they have a date problem. You know, they made fun of themselves about it. I mean, he's right in the sense that time's up on a lot of these things, but Detroit's coming this year. God of War's coming this year. Spider-Man's coming this year. Days Gone is not coming this year. Dreams is not coming this year. I'm of this way, and I see both sides of it. I'd rather Sony not give me a date and then have to delay it versus them waiting until they are sure they can hit a date and then announce it. God of War is a great example of this. God of War is coming April 20th. They waited until a few weeks ago to finally say, yep, it's coming April 20th. And now we know. Did it hurt the appeal of God of War that I didn't know the date a year ago? No. I mean, we knew it was coming at some point. We still don't truly have a date for Detroit or Spider-Man, but I mean, we pretty much know they're coming at some point this year. They'll probably wait to E3 or something to put a date on Spider-Man, and then we'll all be excited and run out and go pre-order it when it comes out in probably October and November, right? I get what he's saying, but it's one of those things where it's like we've said before, when a game gets delayed from a date that they promise, we all say, hey, if you got to delay it, do what you got to do, because I don't want a rushed game. So Sony could have been promising dates for the past 2 or 3 years on all these games, and all of them probably would have got delayed. And instead, we've just seen highlight reels of them, demos of them. We know they're coming. What I would like to see, the compromise I would like to see, is at least Sony put a year on when we can expect the games come out. So like 2 years ago when they debuted God of War, and you know, they showed that great, you know, that demo at E3 to start it off and all that thing, maybe just say 2018. And then everyone would at least know, all right, let's not speculate on when God of War is coming out until we get to 2018. Same with the rest of the games. They should at least have a 365 day range and when they can expect these games to come out, when they're going to debut them. And the same goes for Nintendo, same goes for Microsoft, all of them. Another example, again, talking about Cyberpunk, CD Projekt Red. We know Cyberpunk's coming. They've been talking about it. They've been hinting at the game for 3 years already, but none of us are expecting it this year. We all expect it probably in another year to 2 years. I'm not complaining. I mean, it is what it is.
But that's a different case, Paris. I can understand talking about it and then stay quiet, that's fine. But how are you going to announce a game, show it at a press conference with no date, so people that doesn't know much about like the gaming industry and they see the trailer like, oh man, it's coming out this year, that's it. They show it during E3, I'm buying the PlayStation. That's why Sony has always been doing that. Every year, they'll show a game that they showed it 3-4 years ago. Look at Agents. Agents was announced oh my God, during the PlayStation 3. And they said that that was going to be a PlayStation 3 exclusive. What happened to the game? Crickets. We haven't heard anything about it. So I feel like companies like Microsoft and Nintendo, they've always been showing games, but it's either coming out that year or the year after that. They always, unless it's like this is buggy and then they delayed it, but it's rare when we get to see something like that from Xbox and Nintendo. But PlayStation, they're known to do that. So then when they do that, when they show a game that's not coming out like in 3-4 years, then everybody will say, okay, this was the best E3 press conference ever, or best review compared to Xbox and Nintendo. And that's why I always say that I'm getting sick and tired of that, man.
Okay.
I'm getting sick. It's good at the moment to hype it up. You know, look at me. I pre-ordered Shenmue years ago. It's been a couple years. Crickets. We haven't heard anything. And it's like, as a fan of that game, I'm getting kind of frustrated. It's like, why announce it 3-4 years ago? And now for the past 2 years, we haven't really seen anything, man. Do you think that's fair?
Okay.
That's not fair. I put money for that.
Here's what I'll say to this. I'm just going to sword and shield Sony for a minute because I was getting a little too friendly with Xbox the last couple of weeks, right? Oh, that made me laugh. No, but yeah. Just look at it this way. Whatever they're doing is obviously working. You want to know why? Because they've sold over 75 million PlayStation 4s. So you may not like that they hype games early, but people are still buying their system and it's working. So in that sense, they don't have any incentive to stop doing that. They don't have incentive to wait until the year of to start announcing these games. They're going to continue to announce them 2-3 years out and not put a date on them. And like I said, they've acknowledged that, you know they do it, and they made fun of themselves, but they keep selling. They keep selling.
You know what? You know? It's going to work now for this generation. But let me tell you, man, the consumers are so smart.
How do you know?
That they're going to get tired of it.
How do you know?
It's not going to.
But why? They're not tired of it now.
It's not going to work next time.
But they're not tired of it now.
It's not going to work on the next generation. Paris is not going to work on the next generation.
I disagree.
People are going to get tired.
I disagree.
All right, so they show Final Fantasy. What happened with that game?
I know.
They show
Crickets.
Kingdom Hearts.
Crickets.
Crickets. You know, there's a lot of games that has been announced in previous years. Still crickets from Sony. I'm not a fan of that, Paris. I think that's unfair, man. As a fan of games, that's not cool. Okay. If it would have been, if let me tell you this, if it was Xbox doing that, or even Nintendo doing that, everyone would be complaining.
How do you know?
But it's because.
But how do you know? Because they're not doing it.
People are
you don't
people
know.
Complaining for Sony. People are complaining, man. I'm telling you, man.
No,
that event that they had in December, PlayStation Experience. A lot of people didn't like it because they didn't. First of all, they didn't like the format. How it was. Two, everybody was waiting for Days Gone and other games, and they really didn't show anything about it, man. So, I personally think it's not cool, man. That is not cool at all. Announce a game when it's ready. When it's like, okay, a year or maybe 2 years, not 4 years. Not 4 years and show it every year at the press conference? Come on. I'm not a fan of that.
Okay. So you'd rather them not show... You'd rather we not know anything about The Last of Us 2 right now. That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
You'd rather not know anything that it's on the way? Nothing. You just don't want to know nothing until it's ready to go. Until Naughty Dog's ready to go.
Yeah. And show it. A year before it comes out and the year after that. But almost every year for 3-4 years, how's that hyping me up? It's like, come on, dude. Like, dude, that's too long.
I don't disagree with you. I just want to be clear. I don't disagree in that, yeah, don't tell me anything until I'm ready. But what I'm saying is, obviously this formula has worked for them. It's worked. You're a vocal minority. And not a minority because you're a person of color. You're a vocal minority because...
you're a dork. I don't know, man. I don't know. Look, if I'm wrong, please tell me. Anybody is listening to this, tell me that I'm wrong. Please tell me because it gets old after a while. Xbox, they haven't said anything about Halo. Zero. They've been quiet. And I know Halo's coming out. We know that Gears of War is coming out, right? But... That's one thing about Xbox and even Nintendo. They'll announce a game when it's ready a year or 2 years max, not 3-4 years. That's insane. Nobody, Sony are the only ones that does that.
No, and
not
again,
even EA,
and
not
again,
even EA,
and again,
not even Ubisoft.
To be clear, I'm with you on that, but what I'm saying is 75 million.
Of course, yeah. Paris, of course. But yo, look, I know people probably are saying, Danny, you're wrong, right? Right? You're wrong. Listening to this driving, screaming, and all this stuff. But yo, I'm a fan of Shenmue. I pre-ordered that game on Kickstarter. Crickets ever since. Do you think that's right? I put money and I don't even know if the game is coming out or not.
Well, yeah, I think they pulled the okey-doke on you, just like with the Final Fantasy VII remake. They pulled the okey-doke on people on that too. Get them all lathered up and excited, and poof, nothing.
Imagine you, the listener, go watch. You're watching the press conference, and they say we have an exclusive deal with Rockstar. This game is coming out for the PlayStation. It's called Agents. You see the little tease? They only show the logo, right? And they never show the game. You go to GameStop, put your money down, and you even bought a PlayStation 3 just because you were a fan of Rockstar. That was, how long ago was that? Do you think, as a consumer, do you think that's fair? Think about that. Do you think that's not fair, man? I think that's totally wrong, man. Totally wrong. And then you're still waiting to this day for that game to come out. That's the problem that I've been having with Sony. And when I say something like that, people will say, oh, Danny, you're just hating on Sony. Nah, man, it's not hating on Sony. It's just, it's wrong. As a fan, you hype me up and I'm there waiting, and the game never comes out. It's like, come on, dude.
Again.
That's the issue that I have.
Again, and I'll say this for everyone that's listening and or watching us on Twitch. I do not disagree with what you're saying. And obviously I'm playing devil's advocate here. I do not disagree with what you're saying. You're right.
Okay.
As a consumer, I'd rather not know until it's close to time. But what I'm saying, and I'll say it again, obviously this strategy by them has worked, because despite what some people may think, they've sold over 75 million PlayStation 4s, and they're setting records with this, despite the vocal minority criticism that they've gotten over the strategy. And look, I know this is just a whatever conversation. I mean, this isn't impacting anything in any big way, but I'm just saying that it works. And yes, it gets old. Of course it gets old. Mm-hmm. But the average person, the people watching this on Twitch, listening to the podcast, we're the hardcore people. You know, we're the hardcore gamers that we stay up on the news. We know what's going on, everything. So it's old to us. But the average person sitting at home, little Johnny sitting at home, they don't keep up on this stuff like we do. So in the back of their head, them Sony constantly hitting us over the head with all these upcoming games, they catch it every now and again. Oh, yeah, Spider-Man's coming soon. I wonder when that's coming out. You know, oh, God of War's coming out. Oh, Last of Us 2 is coming out. You know, they keep hearing these things over and over. So, again, it's just conversation. I know we're just having fun with it or whatever, but I don't necessarily think what they're doing is wrong overall. It's just annoying, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I have another email here. This is from Juan. He said, hey, guys, I've been listening to you guys for the past 2 years when I first discovered the show on Spotify. I just recently made the switch to Google Play Music, and I was wondering if there's any intention of you guys uploading there as well. I currently have Stitcher downloaded just for your podcast. Thanks, and keep up the hard work. Juan from Phoenix. Juan, thanks a lot. I've been getting a lot of questions about that. Right now, we don't have plans to be there or Google Play. You know, because the thing is, you know, we signed a deal with CBS, so they're the ones right now handling that type of stuff. But, you know, if you want, make sure to hit up radio.com or other Twitter, social media accounts, for, you know, hit them up and let them know that you want us to be on Google Play. But if not, yo, we're everywhere. You can find us on like Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. There's other applications too that you could download just to listen to Gamertag Radio. Or if you want to keep it old school, go to radio.com or gamertagradio.com, and we're there too, man. So thanks a lot. Paris, you have another voicemail, right?
Yes, I do. And let's go ahead and play that right now.
Hey, what's up, Gamertag Radio? This is Eric from Los Angeles. I was just calling. I'm actually a new listener. I've been listening to you guys for, like, probably from episode 700 to current. And I'm really liking it. I'm always looking forward to you guys' podcast. I'm always checking to make sure to see if there's a new one. But with the upcoming release of Far Cry 5, which I'm really excited for, I want to know if you guys had any information as to why they got rid of the gun conditioning system that they had in Far Cry 2. I really like that. I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on it. I thought it added like a little extra element, like really think out what you had to do. You know, if they're ever going to bring that back, what are you guys' thoughts on the gun conditioning system? Did you guys like that or dislike it? I'd really like to hear your thoughts. Thanks.
All right. I want to thank him for the voicemail. And Danny, sounds like a question you could be asking pretty soon. That's all I'll say.
Yes, we'll see. But Paris, we played Far Cry how many times now? Like since last year, we played a couple times, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't really notice anything. I don't know. Like I think the game that we played, the version that we played in the past, I think it's good so far. The only thing that I find it challenging the game. Am I right? If you do it by yourself without the companion. Because that's what I tried both sides. I tried the companion, which I found a little bit easy. But just having a normal mode, a normal difficulty. But playing it on by yourself, man, it could get really, really challenging. But your thoughts about that, Paris? Because I know you played Far Cry in the past, right? Because I started playing it, I think, was it 3 and Primal? So... your thoughts, man.
I can't answer his question because I don't know what the gun conditioning system is. Maybe I'm ignorant to that. I mean, I've played some Far Cry in the past, but that's not a feature that sticks out in my head. So I can't answer it. I apologize. I don't know. When I played Far Cry 5 at E3 and then at that event we were at a few weeks ago, just the gunplay overall felt good. I mean, it didn't feel like anything out of the ordinary or I was struggling with it or fighting against it or anything like that. So, again, I just think next time you see Dan, hey, I think you ought to ask him that question and see what he says. Yeah, because I won't be with you.
I'll ask Dan. All right. So we have another question here. This is from Charles. He said, hi, Gamertag Radio. I think almost everyone agrees Microsoft Game Pass is a great value, but when it will not be? If it goes over 200 games, do they raise the price? How much do they charge if Bethesda or any other company joins? What if they added EA Access together and then how much is it? For $120 for Game Pass, $60 for Xbox Live, $30 for EA All Access. Is that going to be, what, $210? When does Microsoft have to charge more? Would it be worth it then? Wow, he has like a lot of questions here. I have Game Pass and I'm finding old games I never played before. And with the new games coming to it, I'm hoping that not paying full retail for a game again. This is Chuck from Pennsylvania. Thanks for your dedication. I hope you 2018 is a great year for you guys. Your thoughts, man?
I don't understand the question.
He wants to know when do you think they should raise the price?
They're not going to raise the price. No, okay. I get what he's saying now. They're not going to raise the price. If third parties decide to invest in it, obviously they're going to make a deal with Bethesda or whoever to be a part of Game Pass. But that's not they're not passing that fee on to consumers because now that takes away the whole point of Game Pass. You see what I'm saying? You got to think of it like Netflix. Netflix charges you a flat fee no matter if they get the Disney to come in or whoever, a new studio to bring their titles into Netflix. They're not raising the price on you for that. It's all a part of the overall subscription that you're doing. They're basically investing, you know, on the back end to have that third party publisher as a part of it. It's kind of what we're talking about before. We're more valuable to these publishers as a subscriber than we are as an individual purchaser of their games. If a publisher knows they can, okay, if we know we got a million people giving us 10 bucks a month, that's a certain amount of revenue they know they can rely on every month, right? Mm-hmm. Versus, well, I hope they buy Crackdown, but if they don't, then now we've lost out on that revenue. Whereas if you tie it all into just a standard subscription, it's consistency. It's consistent revenue that you can budget around, that you can plan around, etc. So them acquiring more assets to put into said subscription isn't something that goes onto the consumer. Now, there's things like, again, I'll take Netflix as an example because I know they just raised their prices. You may raise your price because you've built up infrastructure. It costs more to deliver the service to you, et cetera, things like that. But they're not going to just every other month go, well, now we got Bethesda. Now we got 2K. We're going to jack up the price on you. They may jack up the price, you know, every couple of years or something due to other reasons around it, you know, again, with the budgeting and all that stuff, but they're not going to raise it specifically because they've added new content to it. That would take away the whole point of having Game Pass in the first place, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that what I think is going to happen is Microsoft is going to have deals with third-party companies. Either there's two ways. Either they'll pay royalties based on how mm-hmm. many people actually download the game mm-hmm. and play it, right? Or maybe they'll get an advance, like, okay, we're gonna pay you this game, so this game could be available, be part of Game Pass for like a certain amount of time, maybe 3 months, 4 months. And also, this is a great way for gamers to for companies to promote their game. When the next one comes out, they'll see that, oh, it's part of Game Pass, you know, they could do it like that. Or third-party companies could also do this. If it's available with Game Pass only and it's not available for digital download, you know what? The only way for you could download this is you pre-order this game. Let's say, let's make believe, Red Dead Redemption 2. You pre-order that, you get the first game for free digitally. Like that's how I could see that happening, you know? So if you use Netflix or even Spotify, Apple Music and all that, all these services where all you have to do is just stream, remember, all those companies are also paying for the artists and the music label mm-hmm. based on royalties, how many times you stream it and stuff like that. So I could see that happening, you know? And it's easier for Microsoft to do first-party games because that's their game. So they don't need to make no deals. They don't need no royalties for that, right? But third-party companies are the ones that they have to start doing that. You know, that's why EA is doing EA All Access, because they don't need to pay their own stuff, right? The tricky part is getting third-party to join Game Pass. That's going to be the tricky part.
Okay, this email is from Keith, and he's saying, "Hi, guys at Gamertag Radio. Just to say, great show and love the podcast. My question is, how hard is it for you to balance gaming with work and family? I only ask because I find it difficult to manage getting solid play time in with all the other distractions of everyday life. Additional question. I made a decision early on to follow Microsoft in a hope that they would stick to strategy games, Command & Conquer, Civilization, Supreme Commander, etc. Being as they had a PC background, but it seems as if this market has died. My question is, do you think they will come back, or should I just resign myself to single-player RPGs, another of my favorites? Thank you for the hours of enjoyment listening to you guys, and you and your family should be proud of all the entertainment you give all your followers. Keith." Thank you, Keith. So I'm going to answer the second one first. I believe they're coming back with Age of Empires. I want to say I read that.
Mm-hmm. I think they announced it last year. Announced it during, was it the Paris... The Paris show in France?
Something like that. I know I've heard that recently. So Age of Empires looks like it's most likely coming back. You mentioned Civilization there. Look, 2K ain't stopped. They keep pumping out Civilization. I can't even keep up myself with all the Civilization content that they've put out, you know, over the past 5 years. So I think, you know, again, if you're looking for great strategy games, obviously just keep following 2K and what those guys over there are doing, because it's been fantastic. Command & Conquer is EA. And yeah, that just kind of died. That just went away. And Supreme Commander, I'm not sure about. I'm not even sure who's the publisher for that anymore. But going to his first one, how do you balance gaming life with work and family? A lot of juggling. This is my answer to that. It's not easy. Obviously, family is priority. every time when it comes to this stuff. There's never a compromise with that. You know, my family will always come above anything that I do with gaming or even work, you know, because it's my family. That's, you know, again, it's family. I think that's, that goes without saying. But, you know, with work and all that, obviously, you know, I had to prioritize work over gaming as well. But what I find to do is I'm a planner. I like to, when I get up in the morning, I know what my day is going to be. Obviously, there's going to be audibles here and there, but I typically have a schedule of, all right, obviously I'm at work. Here's what I'm doing at work. When I get home, kids got to go to practice. That's why, if you've noticed the past few Wednesday live shows, I've not been on because my son has practice or has basketball games. So I'm doing that. You know, if obviously if a work issue comes up, then I got to go handle that. Typically, when I'm able to sit down and play a game is usually once everyone goes to bed. That's typically when, unless I planned it out that I'm going to do a stream on here or something, or if there's just, I'm going to go raid or do something that isn't normally during the time that I play at night when everyone else goes to bed. And even then, I've not done it as much because, you know, my wife and I, we like to watch our shows together, things like that. So it's a juggling act. You have to prioritize what's most important to you. And I'm going to assume that family is most important to you. So, you know, just plan accordingly. That's the best thing I could say.
Yeah. And, you know, the past 2 months I've been editing the doc. Well, I edited a documentary, right? So I really didn't play much. Like I would just focus on that. And also had, you know, time to spend some time with the family, my fiance, stuff like that. And also you need time for yourself, man. That's you need that in life, man. So I think, like you said, Paris, schedule the week. If there's any changes, then you gotta, of course, what you have to do, what the thing is, like the most important thing is family, maybe work and so on. That's the thing. When I used to work for Discovery Channel, I was working for Discovery, right? That was my 9-to-5 job. I also was doing Gamer Tag Radio, right? There was also a time that I even had a show for Discovery Channel. So that's three, right? So I was doing that, plus time for me, time for my girl, time for family. It could get pretty complicated, man. But I think if you balance it out and you have a schedule, you could work it out, man. You know? So right now, you know, I don't have a 9-to-5 job. I've just been focusing on just GTR right now. But at the same time, I'm always doing stuff with my family, man. Every single time, man. You know, so. But that was a great question.
Yeah, definitely, question, definitely.
Yeah. What about this one from Miles?
Yeah, go for it then.
All right. Hello, Gamertag Radio crew. Last week, I picked up Shadow of the Colossus for the PlayStation 4. By the way, Paris, you got that game or no?
No, I did not.
No, okay. After I only caught a glimpse of the game as a teenager in 2005. Oh my God, that is a long time ago. He said that this is a very inspiring vision that represents the purest form of artistic expression. And he said that he even witnessed in any game. He said, reminding me in an age of loot boxes and endless microtransactions, some games still have the ability to dig deep into my heart and soul. Man. I'm thinking of other games that's been like that, man. So his question is, what game represents the purest form of artistic expressions to you? To him is Shadow of the Colossus. Miles from West Virginia. Thanks, Miles. Oof. I think the first one to me from last generation, I'll go with, there's two. There's Journey.
Mm-hmm.
There's BioShock, the first BioShock. That was very, very important at that time when it came out. This generation, I'll put The Witcher 3. That, I think that was a very important game when it comes to that. Even in the old days, I think Mario Brothers 3, Mario 64, Star Fox, when it came out for the Super Nintendo, that was incredible, man, that game for around that time for the Super Nintendo. Also, thinking of any other ones, man. Super Metroid, I will go with that too. But it's not only graphics, but you also got to think about music, soundtrack. So Streets of Rage for the Sega Genesis, that that soundtrack was ahead of its time, man. So,
Flower.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Forget about
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I mean, you pretty much nailed the other ones. BioShock was the first one to come off the top of my head, just thinking of what it meant at the time. It's artistic expression of rapture. And then again, the music, the mood, everything that it said at the time was really near and dear to me. But yeah, Flower was another one. Journey, obviously, is another great one as well. I mean, it's all up to your own interpretation. It's really your opinion on how you feel about it. But, you know, like he was saying, for him, it was Shadow of Colossus. But I would say, for me, I would lean BioShock the most, the first one for me, because it really changed the way that I viewed video game. You know what? I would even put BioShock Infinite in that. Hey, the game that got me on Gamertag Radio. At that time, what Ken Levine was expressing with that game was phenomenal to me. It still is. Ironically enough, I think the DLCs actually took away from the original BioShock Infinite, but overall, it's still one of my favorite games ever.
Yep, totally agree, man. That was a great question, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Keep it up, guys. You know, if you have never sent a question, send it. Go right now. Go to fanmail@gamertagradio.com or give us a call, man, a voicemail, man, 786-273-7GTR, and leave some questions, man. And or you also could go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. You could also leave a message there through your phone or also through your computer. Super easy, man. So we could start great conversations. So keep it up, man. Paris, anything else before we wrap it up?
I'll just say on the record for the podcast that Black Panther was phenomenal. I'm going to go see it again today, by the way, but the more I think about the movie and the message that it was telling, the more phenomenal that movie is. The cast overall was amazing. I think Michael B. Jordan just stood out amongst all the greatness that cast was as Killmonger. Again, I'm not going to spoil anything because I think it's something everyone needs to experience. But I will say this, and I want to say it on the podcast because I'm a grown ass man and I'm just going to speak my mind. I am African American. Obviously, Black Panther means a lot to my culture, my people. You know, where I'm descended from. Obviously, somewhere along the line, I'm from African descent. It means a lot to people of color, this movie. It just does. But at the same time, this movie is for everybody. It is not just for me. Look, Black folks don't have exclusive rights to Black Panther. That is not anyone that tells you that should be slapped upside the head. Yeah. This is a movie that has a very important message that everybody needs to see. We all need to embrace it and celebrate it. And my God, Danny, I don't know if you've seen the tracking numbers for what Black Panther's doing this weekend, but they're saying it's on pace to do something crazy like 220 million, something like that. Ooh, it's just insanity.
Is that the highest for a Marvel movie?
If it hits that, it'll top Age of Ultron. It will be the highest opening weekend for a Marvel movie, period. Which
wow,
is crazy.
That's dope. That's dope.
But the thing,
a strong message.
Yeah, it really does. But the thing that I want to say on that is because again, I love that you're seeing so many people organizing, getting kids to go see this movie, churches, you know, youth groups, things like that. Titus O'Neil from the WWE, because you know we're talking about this in the private chat. He's from Tampa. He's from where I'm from. He got together with some of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And originally, he was just trying to get 200 kids to go see the movie when it opened. They worked together. They got 2,000 kids in the Tampa area.
Wow.
A private screening Thursday night to go see that movie. It's freaking amazing, man. And that's what I love to see. It's unifying people. It's bringing people together to go see this movie. It's not just a comic book movie anymore. It's literally an event. It literally is. Like the fact that last night during the slam dunk contest, Michael B. Jordan and Chadwick Boseman were at there, and actually Oladipo put on the Black Panther mask and did a dunk with the Black Panther mask on, and the crowd erupted. They loved it. It fills my heart with so much joy that, yeah, it's just a silly movie. Say whatever you want. Yeah, we get it's a movie. Wakanda ain't real and all that. But what Wakanda in this movie represents is way more than that. And that's what excites me about this. And my kid, like I said, my son had the Black Panther mask on when we went to go see it. He's running around screaming Wakanda forever and all this stuff. Just put a smile on my face. And that's what this movie was trying to do. And I think it succeeded. It went beyond expectations, to be honest with you. So very happy with Black Panther. And I just wanted to say that. So I'm done.
Yeah. I definitely want to go to the movies and watch it again. Man, it was so good, man. So good. Soundtrack, phenomenal.
Oh my God. That's
phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Dude, I've been listening to it. Soundtrack. Yeah, I've been listening to that for the past couple of weeks. This is amazing.
So there's two soundtracks. There's the hip hop version with Kendrick Lamar, TDE. That's all there. And also the orchestra, man. That was, mm-hmm. Oh my God, it was so good. Goosebumps, man. Mm-hmm. Goosebumps. But yeah, Michael B. Jordan, I think one of the best villains I've ever seen in any movie, man. Because the thing that I like about Daredevil, right? The first season is I really like Kingpin, man. I feel bad for the character, right? So it's hard. It's rare to see something like that from movies in general, because usually when you see a villain, you're like, I don't care about this freaking villain. Yeah, he's bad, whatever. You care more about the good guys, right? But Black Panther is a game changer, man. It's a freaking game changer. So I can't wait to see, hopefully, the sequel, which I know they're probably going to work on that in the future, man, because this is history, man.
Oh, of course, of course. Kevin Feige has already come out and said they want Ryan Coogler come back and do the sequel. So you know that's happening.
Oh, that's dope.
And again, that's I'm not going to spoil anything by saying this, but for me, and again, I'm a grown ass man, so I really don't care what anyone thinks that I say this, but when Michael B. Jordan says what he says at the end, this is not a spoiler. I'm not going to say what it was, but what he says at the end, that got me. That absolutely got me, because it means so much to me on what he said and knowing the history of African Americans in this country. And that's all I'll say. That got me emotional when he said that, for sure. You know, and the first time you see Wakanda realize, when they come into Wakanda and you see all of Wakanda, that struck an emotional chord with me as well, because it doesn't have to be real, but it's something that as a kid, I grew up reading in the comics and always fantasized about what Wakanda would look like in real life. And to see it in that movie and to see it fully realized, I'm like, my God, I never thought this would be on screen. I never thought we would get something like this on screen. As an African-American kid from St. Petersburg, Florida, I never thought I would actually see something like that on screen. And I'll say this one last thing. It also made me happy that I didn't get to go to the 7 o'clock show for the movie, because I always got like, I like to call them a little secret theater that I go to and I take the kids. I never get advanced tickets. We just go and we get in and see all the Marvel movies, man. I showed up at 6 o'clock and it was sold out, and I thought I was early. And it was sold out. I had to go to 7:45 show. And even the 7:45 show sold out right after I got my tickets for that. And then the 8 o'clock shows, it was like people were there. And it was people of all colors and creeds. It wasn't just Black folks. Even though we turned out for it. But it was all folks that were there to see that movie and was excited for it. So just overall, Thursday night was a very happy night for me. It really was.
It was an event. It was an event.
Really was.
A very historical event.
Yep.
So, all right. So head over to GamerTagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, you could go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Make sure to subscribe, follow us, post a review, spread the word. And next week in 6 days or whatever, Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Pacific, I mean. We're going to war premiere Gamertag Radio, a podcast story. That's going to be an amazing, amazing night for us, because that's the first time that Twitch has ever done this, ever, ever. So let's make history together. Watch it live with us. Get your popcorn and also be part of the chat. And let's talk while we're watching the movie, man, next week. Man. So, all right. And that's it. And we out. Peace.
for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.